Blog Talk Radio.
You're listening to the Get Passionate Show with Jen. Now it's time to get passionate.
Good evening. Welcome to the Get Passionate Radio Show. Tonight, we are getting passionate about books and book marketing, what it takes to be an author. But as we know, once you write a book, that's when the job actually starts. So when we need to really market your book and put it out there for people to find it, to find your message. So with me today, I have John Kremer. Hello, John.
Hello.
Now, John, I know you are an expert on book marketing. You have written a lot about it. Your website is full of tips. So I'm just going to pick your brain for me, because I have a book coming out soon, but also for our listeners who also want to know about how to make it in the book market. Just before we start, John, can you tell us a bit more about you and how you got to knowing so much about book marketing? What is your journey?
Well, I started off as a frustrated author, and but at the time I was also in charge of marketing for a friend who had a toy and gift company.
Mm-hmm.
So I knew things from marketing by doing all the research necessary to do what I needed to do for his company. In the meantime, I was writing books and trying to get them sold and not having any luck. So I eventually self-published. Then I realized that there just wasn't the information out there on marketing the book. So I created it.
So if I understand you correctly, you said you were unsuccessful with some books because, like, you were a frustrated author. I think we all know what that means. And then you self-published.
You know, so many book publishers, they just, you know, they want celebrities. And then that was even true 20 years ago, 30 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
They're looking for people who already have a built-in platform or audience for the book. And at the time, I did not have that.
Oh, right. But nowadays, I mean, they do want everybody to get involved. Because from what I understand from the publishing industry, even like the big publishers, they also do want you to already have, you know, some sort of substantial following before they pick up your book. So do you think that self-publishing, therefore, is a very viable alternative now?
Nowadays, yes, it is, especially with print-on-demand and e-books. It's very easy and inexpensive for somebody to market. When I first started off, it cost $5,000, $20,000 to publish your book.
Wow.
And you had to still spend the money to market it. Nowadays, you can actually publish on places like CreateSpace and, of course, Amazon Kindle platform, and it costs you nothing unless you buy into some of their other packages.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough. So once we have written the book, you know, we have sweated for like, I don't know how many years, and then the book is there. It's there, it's ready for the world to read, to see. What do you think would be the very first step for an author, for a writer?
Well, actually, I think authors should begin marketing their books about, at the time they have the idea for the book.
Oh, that early.
Start to build an audience, and you can start blogging about your book. You can start sharing little excerpts, and you can start to build up so that people actually start to look forward to your book and want it, and will be coming to you and saying, please, please, give me some part of the book now. Let me buy now.
Yeah.
One guy that did podcasting of his novel as he wrote it, and he'd read like a page a day. And he built up an audience of 80,000 people that subscribed to his podcast. When his book came out, there were people ready to buy and wanting to buy and hungry to buy.
Mm-hmm. Especially hungry to buy. Yeah, I like that. People are already excited.
So how would you find the people, the right people to connect to?
Well, at some point you want to connect with other websites and bloggers who are already approaching the audience you want to reach.
Mm-hmm.
So you should partner with them and you should start writing about them and let them write about you so that you interchange your audiences and do that with multiple authors and do that with multiple websites, and you start to build up an audience that can be great. And if you create, you know, an essential in this process, of course, is that you have to have some sort of email newsletter or sign up list so that they can become, you know, join, in a sense, your fan club.
Mm-hmm.
And then in that email newsletter, you share, if it's nonfiction, you share tidbits from your book or advice, you know, on the subject. If it's fiction, then you share excerpts from your book or excerpts from other friends' books that you're helping to promote, and they're helping to promote you.
Okay, well, that's very interesting. Now, I've been really browsing your website, and there is quite a lot on there. I haven't seen a Twitter follow me account or a Facebook like my page account. Was that on purpose?
It depends on which website you went on.
Oh, okay, the bookmarket.com.
No, it's probably more laziness than anything.
I don't believe that, John.
You'll find that in some of my other websites that I have, mm-hmm. where I do have, follow me and things like that. But I don't really worry about that. The people that want to follow me or connect with me on Facebook or Twitter or so on are going to do it anyway. But, you know, the neat thing is with the social media is that you can actually have them feed into each other so that when I do a pin, mm-hmm. I will often also tweet about it automatically, and that tweet feeds into Facebook and into LinkedIn and into Goodreads and a number of other sites, so that automatically when I do a pin, there's automatically, you know, a feed into other places,
mm-hmm.
so
mm-hmm.
that I multiply the effect very, very rapidly. And so with one pin, I can reach, somewhere around 50,000.
Yeah. Oh, that's very nice. So you've been in this business for such a long time then, John. So tell me about the evolution in terms of how you reach your audience. Do you feel that social media has made a massive impact? And if so, which one? Or do you think that it's not actually that necessary?
In my experience in today's world, Twitter is less effective than it used to be.
Mm-hmm.
I find I get the best social engagement from Facebook.
Mm-hmm.
That means people commenting, sharing what I have, and viewing it, things like that. I do like Pinterest because it forces me to think visually, and I do get some good social interaction there. LinkedIn is for professional. That means that, you know, if you want to interact with other people and build relationships, it's a great network to be on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a really great place if you're writing books. There are social networks within LinkedIn or groups devoted to any subject you can think of, any kind of fiction genre you want. There's, five or ten at least children's book groups on LinkedIn. Some of them, small, 200 or 300, but some having 5,000 members.
Mm-hmm.
So right away you can start to find partners to interact with and create effect with. And then of course I have my own social network called the bookmarketingnetwork.com.
Mm-hmm.
That's got 8,000 members in it. And these are people that are looking, authors who are looking to work with each other to market a book and share information and so on.
Mm-hmm.
And it's really good. It's an active network, and there are people interacting all the time. I really love it because I really do encourage authors to interact with each other and to help each other out, because the art of writing is a very solitary thing.
True.
Most of us mm-hmm. write by ourselves. There's nobody around, nobody saying, hey, here, add this sentence, or oh, no, that word doesn't work, unless you have a feedback group. But even then, they're not sitting over your shoulder doing it.
Mm-hmm.
But in marketing, you really need help. You can't do it by yourself. You know, you really can't. It is, all of marketing is really about relationships, building relationships, and then using those relationships to spread the word. Because 80% of all books are sold by word of mouth. That means that somebody tells somebody else, hey, this is a great book. And the neat thing in today's world is that you don't have to rely on just physical word of mouth and, getting out there and speaking and, building word of mouth that way, or getting out there and doing publicity. Nowadays, you can do a lot of word of mouth through social networks, blogging, blog tours, things like that, that can really have a major impact on the sale of a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, the classic case of that right now is Amanda Hawking with her ebooks that she was doing. She sold, you know, over 2 million copies on Kindle,
mm-hmm.
and then got a credible offer from a New York publisher for $2 million to republish four of her books. But she built her audience through blogging and interaction with other authors who blog, who write the similar kinds of fiction as she did.
Mm-hmm.
And her word of mouth really happened when she did what she called a zombie palooza.
Okay.
And 1 month, yeah, she did that in October, I think that was 2010, where she actually invited other authors who write on in zombie literature and horror literature and fantasy to blog on her website. And then they sent traffic to her blog, and she went from selling like 3,000 books a month to selling 100,000 books a month to selling 400,000 books a month within 3 months.
Wow. Well done. Well, I mean, she must have been doing the right things.
She was building relationships with other authors who had similar audiences.
Mm-hmm.
And once she exposed her books to those audiences, the word of mouth took over.
Mm-hmm.
Now, she's not the greatest writer in the world, but her subject was something that a lot of people are passionate about.
Mm-hmm.
And so if they liked one of her books, they would pass on the word. And at the time, she was only selling on Amazon's Kindle platform. But, you know, in October, when she did that month-long event, by December, she sold 100,000 copies. In January, she sold 400,000 copies. And she had done nothing else. So it was the word of mouth that was generated from that zombie palooza that created the impetus for the sales. And then the quality of her book, in terms of mm-hmm. the subject and you know, and the storyline, sold the book.
That's it. That's it.
And then the, you know, 100,000 in December to 400,000 in January. That was word of mouth.
Mm-hmm.
That was people saying, "Whoa! I just discovered a new writer, and they wanted to share it with everybody else." And that's where social networking is so valuable. It doesn't matter if you're on the social network so much as that your audience is, and people trust their friends. So if the friend says, "Hey, you got to read this book," you're going to go out and buy the book.
That's true. Yeah. Mm-hmm. So let's talk about the personality, if you like, of the author. I mean, authors have different personalities, obviously. But we were talking earlier about how writing is quite, solitary. And once you get into the marketing, there is this impression that you just have to get out there. It's almost like a personality transplant. You know, you come from being, you know, in your own world, in your own bubble, your own thoughts, and then all of a sudden you have to deal with people. What would be your advice to put their mind at ease?
Well, the neat thing is that most of your online marketing you can do in the same quiet way that you write a book.
Mm-hmm.
You know, online marketing, again, is a very solitary endeavor in one sense, is that you're at home on your computer, and you're blogging, you're interacting with other bloggers, like-minded people that you enjoy talking to. So it's not onerous. It's not like it is when you have to get up and speak in front of a group or you have to go on TV or something like that, which can scare a lot of authors.
Mm-hmm.
And you have to put yourself out and you have to travel and you have to do this and you have to do that. But with online marketing, you can spend 10 or 20 minutes a day interacting with other people of like-minded interests and start to build up a really significant audience.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it's not that complicated. And, you know, so one of the things that I'm developing and I'm going to be releasing in the next few months is what I call, one of them is called the Super 7. These are the top 7 social networks that any book author should be on.
Mm-hmm.
And how to use it, how to use them effectively, what to do. So that you use minimal amount of time and have maximum impact. And then I'm also releasing a program called the Secret 7.
Mm-hmm.
It's the 7 websites that most authors don't know about that they should be on and that can create major impact for their books.
Can't wait.
The secret seven, I don't tell you what they are because they're secret.
Okay.
But the secret seven are Facebook, Pinterest, LinkedIn, Twitter, YouTube, where am I now? Goodreads, and I missed one. Forgetting. Oh, and Amazon.
Sure.
And Amazon, really, it's not just a sales venue. It's actually a social network. You know, the way that books get sold on Amazon is basically social, very much social.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody writes a review of your book, and that gets on your web, you know, on your page, and other people see about it. People create a list mania list of great gothic novels. Your book is on that list, and people start reading it, et cetera, et cetera. Plus, you can blog on your Amazon page, your author page on Amazon. So you can actually share your blog posts there.
Mm-hmm.
So you're multiplying everything that you're doing. The neat thing with some of these social networks is that I do a blog post, and it's automatically posted to Amazon. It's automatically posted to Goodreads. It's automatically posted to the Book Marketing Network. So that I'm multiplying the exposure to that blog post from not just the 200 or 300 people that read the blog post on my network, you know, on my website, but also to the thousands and thousands of people on LinkedIn and Amazon and the Book Marketing Network and Goodreads and so on that want to read my blog post.
That's great. So with just one click, you know, you put on so many different platforms with different readership, so that reaches many, many more people. That's true.
And then, of course, the multiplying effect is that if you do something interesting with any of these social networks, the person, if they like it, they can share it, and they often do. And so then you're exposed to a wider audience than just your own network on, say, LinkedIn or something like that.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, I noticed, you know, many times where there'll be anywhere from 5 or 10 people that will share one of my Facebook posts. And that means they expose it to their audience, not just by liking it, but by actually sharing it. And that means they post it on their page.
Oh, interesting. Yeah. So tell us more about your books then now, John. Tell us, you told us about, you know, the things to come. So are the two programs you just mentioned? What about the books? I know there is one that actually has been recommended to me, which is the 1001 Ways to Market Your Books.
Well, that's what I'm best known for.
Mm-hmm.
That's a real book. That's a physical book.
Yeah.
It's a 700-page book. So it's really like an encyclopedia. You don't read it cover to cover.
Mm-hmm.
Some authors do, but most people, they go to the chapters that they're most interested in, and then they go to another chapter. And it's designed to be read in chunks.
Mm-hmm.
So that you can read a section and then act on it right away instead of just reading the entire book and then acting.
Yeah.
You know, and the classic case of somebody using that book was Jack Canfield and Mark Victor Hansen with Chicken Soup for the Soul. Took my book and they cut it apart and put it up on the wall, and that was their action list. It was all up on the wall. And then as they did things, they took it off of the wall.
And oh,
they did 5 or 10 things every day to market the book when it first came out. And Chicken Soup for the Soul took a while to build momentum. I think it was 6 months or a year before it hit the bestseller list.
Okay.
Once it hit the bestseller list, you know, they've sold now, what, some 200 million copies of the books in the Chicken Soup for the Soul series.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's way out there.
You know, they did it by two principles. One is doing different activities every day. And then the second thing, which they took really to heart, was 5 things a day to promote your book.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. That's exactly what I was going to ask you about. We have 1001 ways. I mean, we like the idea of having many ways. But how would you advise someone to pick the 5, for example, 5 a day? I mean, I don't think that 5 a day is to reach a 1001. But obviously, there are some ways that are more suited to people than others. So is there a way that we can actually choose those?
Well, you can go to my blog on bookmarket.com, blog.bookmarket.com, and right at the top right of the page, there's the top 10 things you can do in 2012 to sell more books.
Mm-hmm.
And you click on that link, and you'll find out immediately what to do. You know, what are my top 10 favorite ways to market a book? And that's free, so you can look at that. And then there's another great link there. It's 36 ways to help a book author you love. And this is something that you send your friends to. So if they ask you, well, how can I help you? You say, well, here are 36 ways.
Yeah, I've just read that, actually. Just read that article just before I called you. That was really good. Yeah,
yeah,
absolutely.
And it's very practical information of things that they can do to help you to market your book and spread the word.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, and then there's another link there to 31 ways to promote your Facebook page. And those are all free. Those are articles that I've written that help you to market your book, and they're very simple there. Well, the very basic information on what to do and how to do it.
Okay, brilliant. Yeah, that's a good place to go.
For people to start.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually, you know, if they like that, they're going to buy my book, or they'll buy my book marketing magic online course, which was especially designed for novelists and children's book authors.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm. A lot of people complained that 1001 Ways was too much focused on nonfiction. So I built the book marketing magic program to teach people that write novels and children's books that there are very specific things you can do to market that apply. I believe 1001 Ways is great for novels too, but there were some people that just said it wasn't enough. So I created the book marketing magic program.
Mm-hmm.
But then I realized the advice there was so good that it applied to nonfiction as well. you know. I repurposed it for any book author, originally for book authors and publishers.
So, but did you feel that you have to target that way? I mean, you know, like the nonfiction and the fiction books and children books for your services as a marketing book guru?
I think it's always valuable to, like, blog or write articles that will address different audiences that you might have. For example, another audience I have is speakers, because almost every speaker has a book, but they don't think of themselves as book authors. So they may not buy 1001 Ways to Market Your Books. But if they start to realize that I have good advice for speakers, then eventually they're going to realize that, oh, yes, I do need to buy 1001 Ways.
Mm-hmm.
So the same, you know, if you've got a novel that you've written and your main audience is romance readers, well, then that's going to be your target. You're going to go to romance book blogs and romance websites and things like that. But you may decide that, well, you know, there's this whole section where I talk about, well, like, what was it? Like Chocolate, I can't remember, there was a novel where the woman also included recipes.
Okay.
Essential recipes. I forget, it was Like Chocolate something or other.
Mm-hmm.
But therefore, she was able to also market to people that love food and people that love sex, because the novel was centered around the piece that this woman would feed people food and they would fall in love with her, and, you know, something like that.
I guess the authors always run that sort of danger.
And so, you know, she was selling not just to romance authors, but people that wanted more sex, people that love food. You know, so she had multiple audiences that she could approach.
Mm-hmm. That's just so it's just not just through one lens. There are so many different perspectives. Great.
Yeah, you know, and the same thing is true. You know, if you're writing a swashbuckling romance, well, there are people that love, you know, ships and boating and historical ships and things like that. Let them know about your novel. And so you can find that no matter who you're writing about, even with fiction, there are other target audiences out there that will be interested in your novel.
True. That's true.
And if you're writing a children's book, you might find the same thing. If you're writing nonfiction, you should have in mind when you're writing the book, here are my top two or three or five audiences for the book. And then include chapters for the different audiences. I originally wrote 1001 Ways to Market Your Books for authors. But I also included a lot of good, solid information for book publishers, because there's about 25,000 book publishers out there.
Yeah.
That publish not just their own books, but other people's. Then, of course, I targeted self-publishers, speakers, and you know, teachers, because I think teachers is a significant audience. And then I found out, as I promoted the book, that there was an interesting side audience I'd never thought about. And that was when Lamaze, I think that's how you pronounce it, magazine did a feature about my book, because they said there are a lot of breastfeeding women that decide to live it, you know, to raise their child at home and need to find a way to
One
way to do that is to write books, and so then they need your book. And so suddenly I had a whole new audience, breastfeeding mothers.
Mm-hmm.
Who knew?
Yeah.
Sometimes your audience teaches you who would be interested in your field. You know, so I actually found out that people that were developing new gifts and toys were also interested in 1001 Ways, because they said it was actually the best marketing book they'd ever read.
Wow. Wow, John, but I would love to talk to you even more, but that's all we have time for. Thanks again for getting on the Get Passionate radio show. So just remind everybody where they can find, what's the main website to find you?
Bookmarket.com, and they'll find everything there. There's you know, something like 700 pages of information.
Okay.
And that means unique URLs, and there's actually probably something like 3,000 or 4,000 pages of information.
Wow, brilliant.
If it was printed in the book. But the neat thing is, you can pick and choose. And,
mm-hmm.
You know, just like I said, that, you know, the top 10 things you can do to sell more books in 2012, 36 ways to help a book author you love, 31 ways to promote your Facebook page. So there are pieces there that you can quickly access and start to market really fast.
Good stuff. Well, great. John, thanks again. I mean, you're such a great help for us. Want to be successful authors out there. And like I said, I mean, I've myself spent a whole day just on one website. That has never happened before. So I can say it has been really, it's, you know, you have that award if you want it.
You know, the thing is, you know, I'm actually, the thing I love best is hiding in my garret and just writing what I really love. That's what I'm passionate about. But because I love my subject as well, I can speak about it. The first time I spoke in front of an audience, I had butterflies up the yin-yang. It was just terrible. But now I push people off the stage to get on. And there'll be many other authors I've noticed do the same thing, that once you put yourself out there, you realize that you're really passionate about what you're writing about and you want to share it. And the thing is, the neat thing is that your audience is there hungry for you. They want more good books. So as long as you write a good book and you speak honestly and passionately, you will build an audience.
Yep. It's all about passion. Absolutely. I couldn't agree more. Great. Well, thank you, guys. I hope you have enjoyed the show. Remember to get on the website, getpassionateradio.com. But that's all we have time for with John today. And get on the website to know the next speaker we'll have on the show. But again, John, thank you so much. Have a great day.
Thanks, Jenny. Bye-bye.
You're listening to the Get Passionate Show with Jen. Now it's time to get passionate.
Okay, Kevin, for the grand prize of $1 million, what color is the White House?
I know this.
5 seconds.
Oh, switching to Geico could save you a bunch of money on car insurance?
Okay. Judges? That's true, Kevin. They'll allow it. Congratulations. You're a winner.
Woo! Geico, because saving 15% or more on car insurance is always a great answer.